Have you ever experienced a moment in which everything around you shook uncontrollably? The closest I have come to that literally was back in March when an earthquake happened just north of town here. But a loud boom was all I heard. I didn't feel the earth shake. I've never felt it shake, and I've certainly not seen buildings destroyed. I recently did see an area that experienced a devastating earthquake some time back in which whole sections of land literally sank. Building on a firm foundation leads one to think first of that literal sense, the building of buildings. Building on a firm foundation can also be understood metaphorically in the sense of what or who you will build your life upon. And that's the matter I want you to think about this morning. The passage this morning points to the surest, most solid foundation on which to build your life. In John chapter 1, the apostle points to Jesus as the surest of all foundations. God in the flesh. Now, incarnation would be hard for some to believe, but their belief or unbelief would be a matter of life or death. John chapter 1, we're going to read the first 18 verses, building on a firm foundation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. Glory is of as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified about him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me.' For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him." This morning, I don't know where you stand spiritually. My question to you is, what are you building your life on? Building on a firm foundation begins with holding to the eternal nature of Jesus. Jesus is God in the flesh. Verse 1 makes you think of Genesis 1, in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos, not just an opinion of God or an impersonal principle that controls the universe or the soul of the world. It was God in the flesh. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos, the essence of God. The Logos was the manifestation of God. The Word is God in his nature, the one who speaks and reveals. Jesus and God are distinct in person and function, and yet identical in nature and purpose. The Word was not just one attribute of God, but was rather an expression of the very being of God. You know, it's interesting to look at kids. I was looking at Jack's kids and how this one kind of looks like Laura, thankfully, and this one kind of looks like Jack. Oh, God, bless their hearts. But yet you see both of them in all of them. And that's true. When we think about Jesus, that they were distinct. God the Father and God the Son were distinct, and yet they were the same. The same. The thought, the logos, preceded the act of creation. Jesus is the only logos of God, the only word of God, the only one who speaks and reveals. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God said, "Let us make man in our image." In the wedding that we did celebrated yesterday, I said this, that God made man in community for community. In community, let us make man in our image. In verse 1, the word "was" is used three times, which conveys the idea that there is no origin with God, nor is there any origin for the word. We have world religions today that Jesus is just a prophet. We have other world religions that say that he came after the Father. No, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word, the Logos, is timeless. It is continuous existence. And Jesus was the creative agent, everything by him and nothing without him. This word, this Jesus, was before any part of creation came into being. The writer of Hebrews understood this back some months ago. We saw that when he said, "Through him he made the world. In Jesus is the life, and this life is the light of men." So hold to the eternal nature of Jesus. Years ago, we took our kids, when they were little, we took our kids to the circus. And I remember one of the performers was this horse rider. He was a trick horse rider. Man, that guy was all over that horse. He was under the horse. He was, you know, I mean, I don't remember where all he was. But you know what he could not do? He could not ride two horses in the opposite directions. So this morning, are you holding to Jesus, or are you holding to something or someone else? This morning, are you building your life on a firm foundation? Hold on to the eternal nature of Jesus. You cannot watch a nature show today, nor go into a classroom without being in conflict. The conflict today is against the naturalistic worldview that nature is all there is, that matter is eternal. And this has led to ideas such as evolution, which is an unguided, mindless process. The idea that nature and matter is all there is influences thinking about abortion and euthanasia. There is a difference between those who look upon their fellow human beings as common creatures of a common creator made in the image of God, and those who look upon them as a conglomerate of biologicals and chemicals. Every human being is made in the image of God, whether they're born in Franklin, North Carolina, or Timbuktu, wherever that might be. We are all made in the image of God. It's interesting to me that the promoters of evolution are also those who decry racism. But philosophically, they're parallel. If you believe in evolution, that everything's a mindless chance, then what's to say that you can't eliminate the lowest? But let me tell you, every human being is made in the image of God. But this all flies in the face of where the world has gone. Now it is all about experience. The LGBTQ plus movement is about experience, not thought. This morning, what are you building your life on? Build your life on the firm foundation of Jesus. Building on a firm foundation is possible because of the personal revelation of Christ. Jesus is God in the flesh. John's whole ministry and mine is to bear witness to Jesus, the light. John was not the light, and no one except Jesus is the light. Unfortunately, verse 5 is true. The darkness did not comprehend the light. But Jesus came so that you might understand the Father. For Jesus to reveal to you God. Even though he made the world did, would not, and has not recognized that fact. We think it's a mindless, thoughtless process. No, it was God's idea, and he is guiding it. Jesus came to the Jews, the religious people, but they did not recognize him for who he was, and they did not receive him. But John says to everyone who receives him, entering into that personal relationship with him, that person has been given the right to become a child of God. Entering into relationship with him is by believing in his name, who he is. You know, sometimes we use that word belief, and it's so wishy-washy. I think one of the better examples I've ever seen was or heard is this idea of believing as you did that pew. Did you ask to see an engineer's report about its strength? Did you ask to see a report on the firmness of the materials? No, you came in and you sat down. You transferred all your weight onto it. And that's what believing in the name of Jesus is about, transferring everything about your life onto him. And entering into that relationship by believing is to give credit to Jesus that he is the Son of God, and that by his death he paid the price for your sin. And this believing also allows you to come into God's family. It is not by heredity or human effort. It is of God. And this speaks of adoption, regeneration. I know I've told you before, but adoption is near and dear to my heart. There are one of them's in Oklahoma and one of them is in Texas, but there are two in Virginia. My sister's two kids are adopted. If either one of them called today and said, "Uncle Robert, I need you. I need this to happen," I'm gone. There's two little boys in Abingdon, Virginia that if they call me today and say, "Poppy, I need you," I'm gone. You say, "Well, they're not your blood." No, they're not, but they're mine. Well, one of them's going to be soon. Because we are adopting them into the family. And that's what's happened with you if you're a follower of Christ. You were adopted into God's family. And when that adoption occurred, the regeneration, the new creature became new. The old creature went away. And his light shines on every life, either for judgment or salvation. So come into a personal relationship with Christ. What is your salvation experience? Mine was when I was 8 years old. Did I understand everything? Since I don't now, I didn't know. I know I didn't then. All I knew was that there was something missing in my life, and Jesus was that missing piece. But I tell you, as a pastor, it is disturbing when you ask someone about their salvation experience, and they talk about going to church or being baptized. And let me tell you, neither of those can save a person. Neither of those can save a person. Salvation comes when you realize your need, and that answer is Jesus. Have you been adopted into God's family? There is a difference between being made in God's image, which we all are, and being adopted into his family. One question I should ask in talking with someone about their conversion experience is, what are you repenting of in your life? Another is, how has God convicted you about your sin and your need for him? A great lie that we're told today is that every culture's truth claims are equal. No, Jesus is much more than a good man, a good teacher, a good prophet. He is God in the flesh. Build your life on a firm foundation. Building on a firm foundation happens by holding to Jesus as the embodiment of truth. There is a difference between subjective truth and objective truth. Subjective truth is opinion. You might like this kind of ice cream, but I like that kind of ice cream. No, the truth of it is I like all ice creams. But objective truth is truth for all. And Jesus is not subjective truth. He is objective truth. Jesus is God in the flesh. John does not say that the Logos entered into a man, or dwelt in a man, or filled a man. He said that the Logos became flesh. As Luke spoke of the virgin birth, John speaks of becoming flesh. From Jesus we receive grace upon grace. Think of grace both in how God's grace comes into your life and also how much. We are all saved by grace. We are saved by grace. But then he says that he gives grace upon grace. And it says that Jesus is full of grace and truth. If, as he is, the fulfillment of God's redemptive acts is in him. He is full of grace and truth. One definition of grace I found says that God's grace means God's goodness toward those who deserve punishment, and that is true. Grace is God's favor freely given to those who do not deserve his favor. So salvation, forgiveness of sin, a new life is possible because of grace. You don't earn salvation, you're given it as a gift. But Jesus is also full of truth. Truth is what God says. Too many look at the Bible as only a list of rules that they think are arbitrarily set. Well, that may be true for you, but it's not true for me. Now, let me tell you, when God's Word says this is how you ought to live, that's how you ought to live. Because he knows best. He made us. He knows how we work. He knows how we think. And this is what's best. God tells us how to live that best life possible through his word. So if you go against his truth, misery and death occur. But truth is also God in human form. Jesus came to rescue us, to save us, to redeem us from sin. Jesus embodies truth. Winston Churchill said, "Men occasionally stumble over the truth, but most pick themselves up and hurry off as if nothing happened." Do you know Jesus as your Savior this morning? I came across this view of Jesus' truth. Jesus did not practice affirmational inclusion, meaning he did not meet sinners where they were and affirm them in their sin. Rather, he practiced transformational inclusion, meaning he met sinners where they were and transformed them. Has he transformed you? Is Jesus and Scripture truth in your life? Dealing with truth can take on a large, somewhat impersonal, overarching scale as in the debate about evolution. But it can also take on a very personal, very close-to-home scale as you decide to live by and obey God's Word. The Logos of Jesus Christ. Think for a moment about this truth that Jesus is the source, the provider of grace upon grace. He did not come to you when you accepted him as your Savior and say, "Here's your grace, make it last." He didn't come to you on New Year's Day and say, "Here's your grace for the year, make it last." He didn't come to you at the first of the month and say, "Here's your grace, make it last." He didn't come to you at the start of the week and say, here's your grace for the week, make it last. He didn't even come to you this morning and say, here's your grace for the day, make it last. It says that grace upon grace. Grace upon grace. Let me tell you, we do not know what this afternoon will hold.
That's right.
But we know the one who is going to pour out the grace. Grace upon grace. So this morning, is the ground around your life shaking? For some, I'm afraid it is. Build your life on the eternal nature of Jesus. And that's possible because of the personal revelation of Christ. Jesus is the embodiment of truth. Are you building your life on Him? Sometimes things happen that cause the ground around you, around your life, to shake. But if you built on the firm foundation of Jesus, you will withstand it. Have you built your life on the firm foundation of Jesus?